the dogs.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant.
As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wits, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we bring you that quiz program designed to stop the progress of education. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think book matches come from a library. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled 3 Weeks in a Hayloft, or Life with Father. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
He has a poem.
Yes. The bottle of perfume that Willie sent was very displeasing to Millicent. Her thanks were so cold, they quarreled, I'm told, because of the silly scent Willie sent Millicent.
Very good. In other words, it stunk.
Yeah. Mr. Howard, what's your language? The sailor's in the house.
Thank you. Next, we have a woman who has always been a homegirl. She may not have dishpan hands, but she has a dishpan face. A woman who got married in a revolving door, and she's been going around with her husband ever since, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I don't know what I'm going to do with that old man of mine.
What's the matter now?
He's always talking in his sleep.
Talking in his sleep?
Yeah, he's always talking about vegetables.
He's talking about vegetables?
Yeah, he's always saying something about a lovely tomato he knows.
I see, all right. Listen more closely the next time, you might find out more. Next, we have a man... Next, we have a man who was such a tough kid at school, he always carried a blackjack in his pencil box. A man with eyes like a sparrow, they flip from limb to limb. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
Hey, you know, Mr. Howard, I called a friend of mine up in Jersey today.
Yeah.
His name is Dwyer.
Dwyer.
You know, I called him up 5 times.
What did the operator say?
Dwyer was busy.
Dwyer? Oh. Remind me to put ground glass in your beer, Mr. Shelton. Well, you've just met the expert, so we'll get right along with the first question. Here it is. Pay attention.
Yes.
From what animal do we get chicken liver?
Mr. Howard, did you say chicken liver?
That's right.
That's what I thought you said.
I see.
Just wanted to know, you know?
Uh-huh.
Now I can go back to sleep.
Fine. Try not to wake up again, will you? The question is, from what animal or fowl do we get chicken liver?
What part of the chicken is the liver, Mr. Howard?
What part of the chicken is the liver? Look, Mr. Connell, if I had your head, I'd wear it in a splint.
I had your head, I wouldn't wear it at all.
Fine. What animal or fowl do we get chicken liver?
What became of the other question? That ain't the same question.
What do you mean it's not the same question?
Well, the first time you said from what animal do we get chicken liver.
That's right.
It's not right. Now you say from what animal or fowl do we get chicken liver. You're bringing in another animal on it.
That's right, Mr. Shelton. You're absolutely right. Quite right.
Certainly. Quite right. We start doping out the questions and you change it. And I might add that you're doing that quite frequently. Mr. Howard, quite frequently.
Harvard man, huh?
Bastard. Now, I'll have you know, sir, that it's not helping our morale one bit.
I see.
That's right. And my morale has been bothering me lately, too.
I see. I noticed it has been bulging a lot. Now, let's get on here. Do any of you know what a chicken is?
Sure, a chicken is the wife of the rooster.
The wife of the rooster.
My neighbor has a rooster.
Yes.
The silliest bird I ever saw. Flaps his wings wildly against his body and crows like mad.
Well, what's silly about that?
Well, I can't see why he spanks himself and then cries about it.
I see that.
You know, my Uncle Webfoot has a rooster up on his farm.
All
and the
right.
Rooster went over to the next farm to my uncle's the other day.
He did.
And he saw a football.
Over to the...
Right away, he called all the chickens, the hens, over from my uncle's farm to this other farm.
I see.
And he says, girls, gather around. And he pointed the football. He says, I want to show you girls how they're delivering over here on this property.
That's nice.
Then what happened?
Then...
All right, leave it later.
No, I laid an egg. I laid the egg, not the chicken.
I was waiting for something. What's that got to do with the question? Don't any of you know what fowl we get chicken liver from?
I love chicken liver.
All right. Where do you get it from?
Bloomingdale. Yeah, they got a lovely food department.
Okay.
And they have a nice snack bar, too.
A snack bar.
Oh, snack bar, yes. I had a terrible experience in a snack bar next door. You know, the one next door the other day. I couldn't pay my check.
Yeah, how much was your check?
$2.30.
How much did you have?
30 cents.
Well, why didn't you tell him you worked for me?
I did.
What'd he say?
He wanted to know where I got the 30 cents.
He wanted to know...
You know, I took my girl in a restaurant the other day, and I said to the waiter, bring me some tomato juice for a pickup.
Uh-huh.
And he said, certainly. What do you have for yourself?
What do you have for yourself? Can we please get on here?
He was one of those fresh waiters. And what else do you think he did? He stuck his hand right in my alphabet soup.
He stuck his... Stuck his hand in your alphabet soup?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was probably just groping for words. You know?
Yeah. Thank you.
Guest of the evening, Mr. Howard, is water tender second class Irving Pinkowitz of the United States Navy.
Well, I thought. Good evening, Mr. Pinkowitz, and welcome to our program. It's really nice to have you. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
New York City.
Oh, you're right at home. That's fair.
New York City, Manhattan? Well, feed me water with a fork and call me Dick Tracy. I used to work in this town.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was a stevedore in a dice factory.
You were a stevedore in a dice factory?
Yeah, I used to load them.
Hey, will you cut it out?
Oh, that was a natural.
All right, let's pass. Pay no attention to him. You've got to expect that, Mr. Pinkowitz. I really should have warned you. What are you doing in New York? Are you off for the evening or something?
No, I've just gotten discharged.
Oh, you just got a discharge. Well, that's smart. I should have known that by that emblem you have on your chest there. How long have you been in the service?
3 years.
3 years. Congratulations. And I bet it feels real good to be out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels swell.
I bet it does.
I think you know, Mr. Pinkowitz, when the war broke out, I was learning how to fly. Yeah, but I gave it up.
Yeah, what made you give it up?
My arms got tired.
Your arms.
Would you believe it? I was getting absolutely flat happy.
Yeah, you still are, Mr. McCall. What'd you do before you entered the service?
I was learning how to fly.
I'm not talking to you.
You're not talking to me.
I'm not talking to you.
That's something to look forward to.
All right. I said before I was interrupted, what did you do before you entered the service?
I was working in a war plant in Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, up in Hartford, Connecticut.
Well, Mr. Hart, what town in Connecticut is Hartford to get out of?
I see. All right, I'll help you. What town in Connecticut is Hartford to get out of?
Waterbury.
Waterbury. Why, Mr. Sheldon?
Because there's watches there. They make watches there.
They're watches.
Watches,
there.
Yeah.
You should have stayed in Connecticut. Watches there.
He says he was a water tender, didn't he?
I see.
I was a bartender in the Navy.
And where?
In the Navy, a bartender.
What is the duties of a bartender in the Navy?
He used to polish the bars on the second Louis coats.
Second lieutenant in the Navy?
That's the Navy I was in.
Oh, I see. Pay no attention to him. We're very glad to have you with us, as I said before.
You sure are. What's your first name?
Irving.
Irving? Well, that's a pretty name. I like that name, Irving. Don't you think that's a nice name, Mr. Howard?
Irving.
It sort of has a little music.
Yeah, Irving.
Irving.
What are you
trying to say? Irving, darling, you can just call me Airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always on the beam.
Yeah. But your pilot light went out years ago. Sit down. Will you? Will you reach into the dunce cap, Irving, there, and pick out a question for these nitwits, and when you get one, would you be kind enough to read it, please?
What is the name of the telephone Alexander Graham Bell invented?
Thank you. What is the name of the telephone Alexander Graham Bell invented?
Mr. Howard, correct me if I'm wrong, but did I understand you to say, what is the name of the telephone?
That's right.
That's ridiculous, old boy. Telephones don't have names. They have numbers.
I see.
Hey, did you ever hear anyone ask you the name of the telephone?
No.
They ask you the number, you dumb cluck.
Mr. Sheldon, are you a moron, an imbecile, or an idiot?
Well, that's a three-part question, isn't it?
That's not a big one. Talking about individual telephones, I mean, what is the name of the telephone company?
What telephone company?
The Bell Telephone Company.
Why'd you call up information and find out?
Ain't that all? I even tell her the answer, she don't know. Miss McConnell, why, do you ever go ice skating?
Sure, when there's ice.
When there's ice. Did you ever try going ice skating when there isn't any ice?
A drown.
Yeah, that's the idea. Exactly. Now, let's get back to the question. What is the name of the telephone Alexander Graham Bell invented?
You just can't convince that guy he's wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Let me see. Graham Bell. Graham Bell. Don't tell me. Isn't that the same fellow who invented the telephone?
All right. Yes, yes. Now, what is the name of the telephone?
Would it be Camille?
Camille? No, Lucy was better.
Yeah.
Let's get on here, please. About a telephone company. Now, what is
Why don't he go out and cut himself a piece of cake?
That's what he should do.
I don't like cake.
Well, go out and cut yourself. I don't care.
You know, I was in a telephone booth today talking to my girl.
You were?
Yeah, and somebody wanted to use the phone, so we had to get out.
That's too bad.
You know, somebody called me on the phone last night.
Yeah?
I couldn't understand a word they said.
Why was that?
It was a French phone.
Oh.
So I called up.
Mr. McNaughton, are you always so stupid?
Oh, dear, no. I had to acquire it.
Uh-huh.
Took years.
Yeah.
So that I wish we did, sometimes I wish we didn't have a phone.
Yeah.
Every time I'm in the bathtub, the phone rings.
I see.
I complained to the company about it.
Yeah, what'd they do?
They come up and ripped out the bathtub.
I see.
You know, they won't put a phone in my house, so I'm going to use carrier pigeons.
Carrier pigeons? How are you going to put a nickel in a pigeon?
I'll find a way.
Yeah, you're
Why didn't you try to get a party line?
Well, what's a party line?
Party line is one man's family listening to We the People.
Please, what must I do to get an answer around here?
Well, just ask a question.
But I did ask a question.
Well, you did your part, so what are you worrying about?
No.
Every time I call up my butcher on the phone, I have to yell my head off. You can hear me a block away.
Well, why do you have to holler so loud?
My butcher has no phone.
Oh. Yeah, that's the reason. Johnny, that's enough. There's only one of them tonight. What's the matter with you? Thing, Novick turns around and takes a bow. That's what kills me. Now, have we another contestant, please?
Indeed we have, Mr. Howard, and I should like to present to you now Yeoman Third Class Ruth Anson of the Waves.
Oh, my. Good evening, Miss Anson, and welcome to a face big. How do you feel this evening, Miss Anson?
Fine, thank you.
Well, that's great. Where's your hometown, would you care to say?
Essex, New York.
Essex, New York. Oh, yeah, Essex. That's up near Lake Placid, isn't it?
That's right.
I see. I have friends up there. They told me the next time I was up there to drop in. We're very glad to have you with us, I'm sure. What are you doing in New York?
I'm stationed here.
Oh, you're stationed in New York. Would you mind telling us what your work is in the service?
I work at an officer separation center.
In an officer separation center?
That's
you mean
right.
You separate officers?
Something like that.
Is that right?
Something like that, yes.
Oh, it is something like that. Well, I was close. That's marvelous for me. What are you doing this evening? Just in New York, taking in the sights, I suppose.
Something like that again, yes.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing after the program?
Never mind. Well, we're very glad to have you with us.
Oh, Miss Hanson, she's a very, very lovely lady, you know.
Yes, she is. You say that. Yes. Mr. McNaughton, you say that about every girl that comes up here.
Well, you know, I like Waves particularly.
I see. When did you first learn to like Waves?
When I found out they weren't sailors.
That's a good one. I hope they're not annoying you, Miss Hanson. How long have you been in the service?
A year and 3 months today.
A year and 3 months today. Congratulations. Sort of an anniversary day.
Now, I'm the boy with a nice girl, now, Mr. Howard. Lovely disposition.
Yeah.
And what a natty dresser. Oh. I see the chick hats, shoes, open toes, everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's only one thing the matter with her.
What's that?
Her face shows.
I see.
Can't take her out in the daytime.
No, I wouldn't if I were you. I'm sorry for all these interruptions. Miss Anson, is that right?
Yeah.
What'd you do before you entered the service, Miss Anson?
I was a cost accountant.
You were a what?
Cost accountant.
A cost accountant. I see. You took charge of, that is, you entered all costs of different things. What'd you sell?
Rinsel.
Oh. Rinsel. He used to work on that Rinsel White radio program, Mr. Sheldon.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yeah. He used to pinch the girl that said Rinsel White. Will you do us a favor and reach into the dunce cap there, please, and pick out a question for us? And would you kindly read the question, if you don't mind?
In what sport do they use a polo stick?
That's very nice. Very nice. In what sport do they use a polo stick?
Mr. Howard, is that a summer or winter sport?
Ain't that terrible. All right, it's a summer... It's a winter sport, rather. And what's that got to do with a question?
Oh, is that another question, Sir Howard?
It's one another question. It's not another question. Now, don't start that.
Don't start what?
Mr. McNaughton, I'm warning you, I can take just so much.
Well, I wouldn't think of offering you any less.
What are you talking about?
You told me not to start something, and I only asked you what it was you didn't want me to start.
That's right. I heard it. I was sitting here all the time. And you said, now, don't start that.
Exactly. But you didn't say what it was you didn't want me to start.
Well, don't you want him to start, Mr. Howard?
It's only fair I should know, you know.
Look, please. Is there an alienist in the house?
Never mind ringing in foreigners. We can answer the questions ourselves.
Indeed we can, can't we, Miss McConnell?
Sure we can. What was the question?
In what sport do they use a polo stick?
Would that be the same sport, Mr. Hart, in which you use a polo pony?
Yes, you ride on a polo pony, and you hit the ball with a polo stick. Now, what's the name of the sport?
Badminton.
Where do you get badminton?
In Bloomingdale.
In Bloomingdale, yes.
Yeah, they got a lovely set
for all that. Right.
I was in there yesterday.
Well, somebody throw a net over that woman's head, please.
Right. Now, let me see now. Let me see. You hit the polo pony with a stick, and then you...
No, that ain't it. No, you hit the ball with the polo pony. Wait.
Now, you're both wrong. You ride the ball, and you hit the stick with the pony.
Wait a minute. You ride on the stick and hit the pony with the polo... What am I talking
about? Mr. Howard, Mr. Powell, I'm afraid you're all mixed up,
yes,
sir. You see, the pony rides on the stick and hits you with the ball.
Thank you, Mr. Robert. Why don't you go home and work on your crime doctor script for next Sunday? You're as bad as they are.
Mr. Howard, tell me, where do they play polo?
Polo ground.
Oh, I saw one of those games, but I didn't see any ponies. They had a stick and a ball, but no ponies.
All right, what'd they call the game?
Baseball.
That's not the game I'm talking about.
You said they played at the polo grounds, didn't you?
All right, then, a polo field, if you like that better.
Oh, I love a polo field. You know, there's nothing prettier in the spring than a field of nice, ripe polos.
I see.
All hanging down.
Cotton, I've seen a lot of morons in my day, but you topped the list.
Oh, you mean I'm now ahead of you?
2 points. Wait a minute. Have you ever seen a string of polo ponies?
You mean polo ponies?
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.